Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Shir of the Young Israel of Woodenmere, Insights and Lessons from Torah HaRav. Thank you to those who braved the rain and came out to join us in person. I said to my husband, it's raining. Who is going to come in person if they could just go onto Zoom? So thank you very much. And thank you as well to the people who are joining us on Zoom this morning. So I said, I feel very covered between my turtleneck and then my mask and then my bangs. I don't know how much you could see, but I hope that you can hear. So here we are. It's Parshas Vayechi Yaakov. It is the final parasha in the book of Bereishis. In Parshas Vayechi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu dies, and Yosef HaTzadik also dies, and the descent and the Shibud Mitzrayim begins in full force in next week's parasha, Parasha Shemot. So the parasha begins as follows, Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayichi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim Sheva Esrei Shana. Yaakov lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. The first 17 years he and Yosef had together in Eretz Canaan. Well, not really. But from the time they came back to Canaan until Yosef was sold at 17, Parshas Vayeshev, they had the first 17 years together. But now they have the last 17 years of Yaakov Avinu's life together in the land of Egypt. And the days of his life were 147. And today we're going to be talking about issues and ideas and insights surrounding the death of Yaakov Avinu and the idea of mourning, as you will see in this week's Parsha. Vayikruvu Yemei Yisrael Lamus, and Israel's days came close to die, and he starts to prepare for the day of death. And what does he do? Vayikra Livno the Yosef, he calls to his son, to Yosef, and he says to him, if I have found favor in your eyes, place your hand, please, under my thigh, and you shall do with me chesed v'emes. Rashi says, why chesed v'emes? Because the chesed that you do with the deceased is the chesed, the purest kindness. You're not mitzapel, tashmum gumul. You don't expect them to pay you back because they're not coming to pay you back with favors, because there's a chesed shames, the deceased cannot pay you back. Al nasik bereinu b'mitzrayim. Do not bury me in Egypt. And this is Yaakov's last dying request. V'shachavti im avosai. I shall lay down with my forefathers. Unisasani b'mitzrayim. You shall carry me out of Egypt. Ukivaratani b'kvaratam, and bury me in their grave. Of course, later in the parasha, and we're going to see it, he is referring specifically to burial in the Me'arad HaMachpelah. Vayomer, and Yosef says, I will do what you said. And Yaakov said, that's not enough. He shavali, and he takes an oath that he will bury him in the Me'arad HaMachpelah in Hebron, he Kiryat Arba. Why is it called Kiryat Arba? Rashi tells us back in Parshas Chayisara, because of the four couples that were buried there. Kiryat Arba literally means the city of four, Adam and Isha, Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarai. It's going to be delineated in this week's parsha later. Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. Vayhi acharei hadvarim ha'eda. And this is very interesting. Perek Mem Ches, Pasuk Aleph. And then the verses continue. And it was after these things. Vayomer li Yosef. It was told to Yosef. Hine avicha choleh. Today we are used to, unfortunately, people being cholim, Rachmana litzlan. Davening for Cholim, the Mishabeach for the Cholim. Interesting idea introduced here into the Torah. Behold, your father is sick. And he takes his two sons with him, Menasha and Ephraim. And they tell Yaakov, your son Yosef is coming. And he strengthens himself and he sits upon the bed. We have the two famous brachos in this week's parasha of Hamalach HaGolo Simi Kora and Yisimcha Elokim Ke'Ephraim Ukemenasha. Hine Avicha Choleh. Behold, your father is sick. I'm going to quote now from the Chizkuni to Perek Yod Ches of Bereishis, Pasuk Yod Aleph. If you recall, Perek Yod Ches of Bereishis is the visit of the Malachim to the home of Avram and Sarah. And in Perek Yod Ches in Bereishis, we are told, Va'avram v'Sarah zkenim ba'im bayamim. Avram and Sarah are old, coming on in years. Chadal liyod l'Sarah, olach kanashim, Sarah no longer is in the way of woman. So we have the term that they are old. And the Chizkuni writes, commentary to Bereishis, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Zkenim ba'im bayamim. Avram and Sarah are old, coming on in years. Today we're used to these terms. Zaken, chole. Mitchilat ha-sefer ad kan, says the Chizkuni, from the beginning of Bereishis until here, again, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Lo timza zkena ksuva b'shum adam. You will not find the term, Adam lived till 930, but it doesn't say he was old. until we come to Avraham Avinu and the visit of the Malach in Parshas Vayera, you will not find, though Tim says, Kena Ksuva Beshum Adam, Zikna. You will not find the term old, this idea of aging, written by any person. Ad Shaba Avraham, until Avraham came, Va'amar Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Avram said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the world, Adam Ubano Nichnasin Lemakom Echad, a man and his son will enter together into one place. Ve'ein Adam Yodea et Mi Chabed. And you're not going to know who's the father and who's the son. A father and son come into one place. There was no idea of aging before Avraham Avinu, and nobody will know who to honor. Should we honor this one or that one? Who's older? I don't know who's older. They both look exactly the same. Today we have potions and injections and ointments and creams to remove the aging process. But Avram asked for the aging process. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Adam ubano nichnasin lemakom echad, ve'ein Adam yodea mi chabed. You're not going to know who to honor. Umitoch she'ata ma'atro b'seva. If you crown him with old age, Adam yodea lemi chabed, you will now know who you should honor. Ma'atro, from the crown. So Avram was saying, it's a good idea that we should age. Instead of looking youthful your whole life, and then a person just dies after 120, or in Adam's case after 930, or in Yaakov's case after 147, or in Avram's case after 175, we should have the aging process. And today, the cosmetic industry is striving mightily to reverse the aging process, but Avram asked for it. How will you know to give honor to a person who's experienced so much in life? What does Zaken stand for? Mipnei Seva Takum V'Adarta Pnei Zaken in Parshas Kedoshim Seva V'Yekwa. Zaken is an acronym for Zasha Kana Chachma, one who acquired wisdom. So how should you know, said Avram, if you don't know who the Zaken is? There needs to be some discernible sign of aging. This person experienced so much, learned so much, went through so much, has so much to transmit. Who should I honor? Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu. Again, this is Chizkuni to Bereishis Yud Chas Yud Av. You could all go, if you're interested, look it up at home. Amam is quoting the Lashon and translating everything. Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Davar Tov Tavata Umimcha Hu Matchil. You know what God said? You initiated a good idea. You asked a good request. It's going to start from you. And hence, Va'avram v'sara zkenim ba'im bayamim chadal yot l'sar orach kenashim. And so you have the idea of aging. So we should be aging with grace. And so we should be proud of the sign of aging. And today, contemporary, modern culture does everything to reverse that. But Avram asked for it. We should know when a person is aging. Next patriarch. What did the next patriarch ask for? Be careful what you wish for. Mitchilat ha-sefer ad Yitzchak. From the beginning of Bereishis to Yitzchak, lo kitiv yisurin. Interesting. It wasn't written yisurin. How do you translate yisurin? Difficulties. You're wearing masks, so I don't even know what you're saying.
Trials,
tribulations, difficulties. Thank you. Lo kitiv yisurin ad sheba Yitzchak v'tava yisurin. Yitzchak came and he claimed yisurin. Why? So Avram's reasoning, we understand, you're not going to know who to honor. You're not going to know who had more life experience. You're not going to know who the previous generation is. Masrali Yeshua came to Nevi'im. Nevi'im Masul Anshe Knesset Sagadola. And then every father, every rabbi has to pass it on to every child and every student, but you're not going to know. So Avram, I understand. Why was Yitzchak asking for Yisurin? Who asked for Yisurin? Not me, not you. We get them, but you don't ask for them. Yitzchak asked. Why? Amar Lefanov, Yitzchak says, Ribon Ha'olamim, Master of the World, Adam Meit, below Yisurin. If a man dies without ever having any struggles and difficulties and trials and tribulations in this world, Midat Hadin Metucha Kenegdo, the Midas Hadin, he has no kapara in this world for his sins, because he died without any trouble. So if life is a walk in the park, so when he got up to the Olam Emes, now you gotta pay for all your sins down here. So the Midas Hadin will be very exacting against him because he has no kapara through Yisurin. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, you know, Chayecha, I swear by your life, Davar Tov Tavata Umimcha Hu Matchil, you asked for a good thing. It's going to start from you. As the Pasuk says, V'techahena Inav Mer'os, Parachov Zion, his eyes are dimmed from seeing. Vayihi ki zaken Yitzchak v'techanei nam mer'os. Vayikra levno hagadol. He wants to bless his sons. In comes the wrong son. He has to send them away. His children want to kill him. Yaakov is separated from him for 22 years. So the purpose of Yisurin, as difficult as that is for us to, as difficult as a pill as it is for us to swallow, serves a purpose in this world. So if we have some sort of kapara for our sins in this world, then when we get to the Olam HaEmes, Be'ezras Hashem, we will meet Midas HaRachamim, and not on the Yom HaDin, hopefully not all Din. So Yitzchak asked for Yisurin, so God said, good kasha, I have a teiritz, it's starting from you. Ah, Avram, Zakein Bayaim, Ba'im Bayamim, Chadal Yod L'Sarach Nashim. Yitzchak, Vayihi Ki Zaken, Yitzchak, Zikna wasn't a chiddush. He already had Ziknich from his father. The Techahena Inav Mer'os, which symbolizes the beginning of his Yisurin. He couldn't see anymore. He didn't have that clarity. He didn't have that piercing vision. He didn't know which son was who. And from then, all the trouble started. And what about Yaakov? Mem Ches Aleph, Vayihi Acharei Dvarim. I took a break for a minute from the Chizkuni. And it was after these things. Vayomer Yosef, Hine Avicha. Who remembers what I said? Choleh. Your father is sick. Ah, your father only has a few moments left, or a few hours left in this case. He's going to go bless his grandsons and Yosef, then bless all the Shvatim, and then he's going to die. So he quickly goes to be Mevakar Chola, to do Kibbutz Avim, and you have the introduction of the idea that is, unfortunately, may the Almighty save us, all too common today, of illness. Yaakov Tavacholi, Amar Ribon Ha'olamim. Yaakov initiated and requested illness. He said, Master of the world. Adam meipelo choli, eina mityashev ben banav. If a person dies without illness, he has no forewarning. He doesn't have time to settle matters, to talk to his children, to give them a blessing, to leave his family, or I should say, to take leave of his family. Mityashev, from the word liyishuv. He doesn't have time to settle things, to sit amongst his children. Nobody can visit him, hold his hand, say the video with him. 1 second he's alive, 1 second he's not alive. Umitoch shehu chola, shnayim o shlosha yamim. And because he will be sick for 2 or 3 days, halavai, after 120, the most suffering physical illness a person should have. Can you imagine if everyone was only sick for 2 or 3 days? And then their soul ascended to the next world. Hu miyushav bein banav. He has time to settle amongst his children, take care of his last will and testament, bury me here, don't bury me there, this is my spiritual tzava, this is my blessing to you. He has time to tie up his ends in this world before he goes to the next world. Amar lo Akosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, Chayacha, you're right, I swear by your life, Davar Tov, Tavata, Umimcha, Humetchil, you claimed a good matter for yourself, and Choli is going to start from you. Hahu dichtiv, as the pasuk says in Parshas Vayichi, which I quoted, Memchas pasuk Aleph, Vayomer leYosef, Hine Avicha Chola. This is fascinating. When I first found this piece, I was preparing for a shiur in the summer in a totally different venue, Zoom series for a different venue, and I found it so interesting because we know that the fascinating. I'd never seen it before. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. We know that the patriarchs established the tefillos. Avram was misakin brachos 26b. Avram was misakin shachris, and Yitzchak was misakin mincha, and Yaakov was misakin tefillos arvis. And we know when they established these prayers in context of the chumash, but they also established something else. And says the Chizkuni Nimtza, Avram chidesh zikna, shanemar va'avram zakein. Yitzchak chidesh yisurim, shanemer vayaha vahaya kizakin Yitzchak v'techahena inav meros. Yaakov chidesh choli, kedichtiv hinei avicha chola. So we see that everything the Ribbono Shel Olam sends us in this world has a purpose. Aging, contrary to what modern society thinks, is a sign of kavod, wisdom. Who should be honored, or who should be more honored between the father and the son? Yisurim are kapara for our sins. So when we ascend after 120, we hopefully will have more rachamim facing us than din. And choli is also, it was requested by Yaakov, and God said, good idea. Magalguin z'chus al yedei zakein, and Hashem allowed, if you will, gave the z'chus, if you will, to the patriarchs, but not only bring a shachus, mincha and arvis, but zikna, amazing, yesurim, I don't know if I should say amazing, and choli. Found that very, very, very interesting. And now I'm going to skip, because to keep in theme with Shir, which is the demise of Yaakov Avinu. Parak Mem Tes is all about Birkas Yaakov, and I'm skipping to after Birkas Yaakov, when he finishes blessing individually all of his children. And the Pasuk tells us, okay, he blessed Ephraim, Menashe, Yosef, all of the Shvatim. Parak Mem Tes, Pasuk Chof Tes. Vayitzav Osam, and he commanded them right after Birkas Yaakov, the next Pasuk. And he says, I am going to be gathered in to my people. Kivru osi el avosai. Bury me to my fathers. El ha-ma'ara asher b'stei efron achiti. But ma'ara asher b'stei ha-machpela. He makes it very clear that his place is not in Egypt. And he must be taken back to the land of Canaan. Be'eretz Canaan asher kana avram esosada. Meis efron achiti la'achuzas kever. Shama kavru es Avram ve'es Sarah ishto. There Avram and Sarah's wife were buried. Shama kavru es Yitzchak ve'es Rivka ishto. There Yitzchak and Rivka were buried. V'shama kavarti es Leah. And there I bury Leah Rachel, of course, who was Nifteris and Paraklamet Hay, is buried in Kever Rachel. And he finished commanding his sons, and this is why he asked for Choli. So you have time to take care of what needs to be taken care of before departing this world. So in a sense, that Chol is a bracha. It allows them time to take care of their final needs, desires, and wishes. And he expired, and he was gathered into his people, and Yosef falls upon the face of his father, and he cries, and he kisses him. Let's talk about the Leviah going up to bury Yaakov in the land of Canaan, and then we are going to move into a piece by Rav Soloveitchik. First, he asks permission from Pharaoh to bury his father. Why does Paro give him permission? Because what does he say? Anochi avi hishbi'ani leimar. I took an oath. Paro, says Rav Soloveitchik, as we're going to see it inside, would not have allowed him to bury his father. But he took an oath. And an oath made to a dying man on his bedside cannot be negated. Okay? So Paro says, go up, bury your father. Ka'asher hishbi'acha. Just like you swore. And Yosef went up. Listen to the Pesukim. Vayal Yosef likbar et aviv. Yosef ascended to bury his father. Vayalu ito kol avdei paro. All the servants of Pharaoh went up. The elders of his house and all the elders of the land of Egypt. So Yosef is accompanied by an Egyptian entourage. V'chol beis Yosef ve'achav. And the house of Yosef and his brothers. I'm in Perak Nun Pasuk Ches. Only their children and their flocks, they left in the land of Goshen, and they went up, a very heavy camp. So you have the whole Egyptian delegation, and you have Pharaoh's servants and the dignitaries from Egypt, and you have Yosef and his brothers and the family going up as well. Vayavo ad goren ha'atad asher be'ever ha'yardein, vayispedu sham misped gadol v'kaved me'od, vayas lo'aviv evel shivas yamim. He made mourning for his father. Here we have the period that we refer to as the Shiva, after the demise of a person. Shivas Yamim. And then it says, Vayar Yosef ha'aretz ha'knani es ha'ava b'garn ha'atad. The inhabitants, the Canaanites, saw the great mourning, and they said, Avel kavedza l'mitzrayim. This is great mourning for Egypt. And therefore they called it Avel Mitzrayim. They saw great mourning. Avel Mitzrayim. They bury him in the Ma'ar Samachpera. The Pasuk tells us, the Pesukim tells, before I go into the Rav in Koheles, Per Gimel, Pesukim Aleph Thuchas, the Chozman, the Ace, the Chochefetz, Tachas HaShemayim. There's a time and place for everything under the heavens. Ace La Lades, the Ace La Mus, there is a time to be born, and there is a time to die. Ace La Ta'as, a time to plant. The Ace La Kornatu, and a time to uproot what has been planted. Eis laharog ve'eis lirpo. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. Eis lefrotz, time to bake boundaries. Ve'eis lefknos, time to build. Eis lefkos. Yosef falls upon his father, vayevk, and he cries. Ve'eis leschok, and a time to rejoice. Eis sepod, he made a hesped. Vayisvedu sham misped gadol ve'kaved ma'od. Eis lespod ve'eis rekod, a time to mourn, a time to give a eulogy, and a time to dance. Eis lahashlich avanim ve'eis knos avanim, a time to cast forth stones, gather in stones. Eis lachabok, there's a time to hug. Ve'eis lerchok mechabek, a time to stay away from hugging. Eis lavakesh, eis laabed, a time to seek, a time to lose. Eis lishmor ve'eis lahashlich, eis lekroa, a time to tear kriya. Ve'eis lispor, a time to sow. There's a time of silence, a time for speech, a time to love, a time to hate. Eis milchama ve'eis shalom. A time for war and a time for peace. For everything under the heavens, there is a time. And Yehadus is very exacting and demanding of our time. Our time is not ours, while it is. Achodesh is alachem, Rosh Chodashim, Mishnah lechem lechad she'eshana. But that time is carefully dictated by the Almighty, what we must do when, what we are expected to do now. There's a time for mourning and a time for rejoicing, a time for kriya and a time for mending, a time for war, a time for peace, a time to speak, a time for silence. And Rav Salvechik speaks very beautifully. I'm quoting from the Rav aloud, Bereshit. Perspectives on burial and mourning. So Yaakov asked for choli, he got choli, he had time to command his sons and bless his sons, and then he died. Avelus is a time to find oneself, says Rav Salavitchik. Eis lispod, eis lischok, eis livkos, says Rav Salavitchik. I'm sorry, delivered at YU Reads 1980, much more recent than some of the other pieces that I quoted from Salvechik. I understood the significance of Shiva, of Avelus, when I had to observe Avelus for my father, his father's Rav Moshe. It was the first time, and I realized it's not Avelus, it's a cleansing experience. If Chazal had not introduced this experience, if the Torah had not told us about Avelus, we should have introduced this experience ourselves. People do not understand what Nichum Avelim means, which we translate as comforting the mourners. We don't understand, and so the Torah imposed it. Nichum Avelim is almost cruel. It's a paradox. How can you comfort the mourner? The mourner is in an emotional state of loneliness, and this is particularly apt in referring to Yosef HaTzadik. Because his whole life he was surrounded by people, but he was a very, very lonely, biblical personality. His mother died as a young child. His brothers hate him. He's alone, even when he's with his family, then alone in the pit, then emotionally and spiritually alone in the house of Potiphar, then in jail for 12 years, and even once he becomes viceroy. The Egyptians don't set the table to eat with him. They need him, but they never really accept him. And he journeys through these experiences on his own. And I find it so impactful that even today he is buried in Shechem. His dying request, like his father's, was "Do not leave me" in Egypt. And yet, for the millennia, 2,000 years of Galus, there were very few Jews in the Holy Land. How many went to Kever Yosef? And today, even though we have Medinat Yisrael, it's very hard to go to Kever Yosef. And Yosef, until the time of Trias HaMesim, is a lonely personality. Rav Salvechik says, Nichum Avelim is almost cruel. The emotional state of loneliness is faced by the mourner. And what does Yosef do? By Yipol Yosef al Pnei Aviv, as if it's his own father, not as if he's surrounded by his brothers. It's his father. Vayevk alav vayishaklo. The personal experience of Yosef in mourning. There is a vacuum which was created by the death. It is a very cruel, almost excruciating emotional state of loneliness. In order to find himself again, the Torah said, let him observe Avelus. And on the other hand, man is alone during that time. There's a time to speak and a time for silence, particularly relevant l'olein in a shiva house. If you really have nothing, eis l'daber ve'eis l'chashos, better to err on the side of eis l'chashos than eis l'daber. And on the other hand, says the Rav, that's why man wants to join someone else. Man is mortal. Man is lonely. So at times, the Torah says, let man rejoice. And so there is joy at a wedding, at a marriage. And yet at a wedding, we take the glass and we break it. And Soloveitchik is saying that for everything in life, there is a time. And our life, really, until Zikna, through Yisurin, and until Choli, is a mishmash. He says, why the shenanigans? Is a colorful journey of all kinds of experiences that we go through. There are joyous times in life. There's rejoicing on a marriage. There are painful times in life. There are times of mourning and times of simcha. And what should our approach be to the different emotions as dictated by the Torah? Rav Soloveitchik says, people should not forget themselves in joy. In other words, don't lose yourself unabated to that joy. And people should not forget themselves in a time of tragedy and distress. We can't go to two either extremes. We are entitled to a certain measure of joy. We are entitled to a certain measure of avelus. There's a certain amount prescribed by the Torah for rejoicing after a marriage, and there's a certain amount of time prescribed by the Torah after a loss. And we cannot go to either extreme. On the other hand, he says, so we are commanded to rejoice. We are commanded to mourn. But how much? Everything within the framework of halacha. Soloveitchik was known as the ish halacha. On the other hand, indifference, and now he talks about society today. Indifference, what we are accustomed to say is stoicism, is achzarius, cruelty. A person should give in to the emotion demanded by that time. It's okay to cry. Yosef is fascinating because Yosef cries so much. Throughout the story of Yosef in the Brothers, he goes to the side room, he sees them, he goes to him, he cries. Binyamin comes, he goes to the room, he cries. He reveals himself before the reveal, he's crying. His father dies, he cries. A person should give in to emotion. We don't do anyone a favor if we negate how we feel. And we certainly don't do our children a favor. Everybody wants to be validated. Your emotions are real. The human experience is real. There is a time for laughter, and yet there's a time for mourning. And the Torah wants you to feel both. We're not robotic. The worst thing to do, and maybe we've been on the receiving end, or maybe we've done it to our children inadvertently. The person says they feel a certain way, and the other person says, no, you don't, for whatever reason. I'm tired. No, you're not. You're just, you don't realize. You'll wake up, you'll be fine. I'm nervous. Don't be nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about. The kids said they're nervous. Why am I saying don't be nervous? Rav Soloveitchik says, on the other hand, indifference, what we are accustomed to say is stoicism, is achzarius, cruelty. I could never understand when Robert Kennedy was murdered and his mother was told about it. She went to some tailor to prepare herself for the mourning services, which would take place. This is achzarius. If you want an example, this is the best example. How is it possible a woman who lost a daughter, lost two sons, one son drowned in the English Channel. And how can she think in terms of fashion about the dress she will wear for the service in church? This is modern morality. I am sorry to say so. So we are supposed to give in to our emotion, and we see that Yosef set up a period. Vayas lo'aviv, once again, the Lashon Yachid. It's as if Yosef is journeying through this Avelus on his own, even though his brothers are with him. Evel Shivas Yamim. The Torah wants, in Avelus, wanted of us. We must act in times of distress as if we are distressed. And we are distressed. And it should not be negated. And the Torah validates that. And in times of excitement, ecstasy, rapture, We act in accordance with rules and standards that the Torah expounded. This is the Shivas Yamim of Avedus, and it's the Shivas Yamim of the Yimei HaMishta. Isn't it interesting that the same length of time is prescribed for the Shivas Yimei HaMishta after the wedding? You see it actually by Laban, he made it for Leah. And the Shivas Yimei Avedus. There's a prescribed set of time. The Torah says, give in to your emotions. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I put some footnotes on my own in the book here. Because I'm very interested in my studying and teaching on focusing on Shavashim. I find it interesting that Shiva, and Soveya, seven, and to be satiated are actually the same word. So that means there has to be a connection, because there's a basic rule in Lashon HaKodesh, not modern day Yivrit, but in the words, the etymology of words in Lashon HaKodesh, something that I talk about often, that if two shorashim, if two words share a shoresh, there's a connection. So it's interesting to me that Shava, seven, there are 7 days of mourning, Vayas, Aviv, Eva, Shivas Yamim, and there is Soveya, to be satiated. And it comes from the same root. So perhaps in this context, Rav Soloveitchik is saying that when we give in to our feelings of sadness, Eis L'Spod, Eis L'Vkos, Eis L'Kroach, in the framework of Halacha, there's a 7 day prescribed period. And then on the other hand, Eis L'Rkod, a time to dance, Eis L'Schok, time to laugh, Eis L'Daber, it's also in the category of seven. In seven, Yimei HaMishta. Perhaps the Jew who lives a life according to halacha, the parameters of these periods of Shiva, finds satiation spiritually. He is a person who is soveya because he lives a life as prescribed by halacha. Says the Rav, the shiur, the measurement of avelus, how long should it be? It's a din to oraisa. La'achar Shiva should continue as far as Avelus is concerned to cultivate and promote it. But Shiva means Shiva, not less, not more. Arba meaning means Arba, not five, not three. We have to always live a life through the framework of Halacha, allowing ourselves to feel, to validate those feelings. To mourn in a time of mourning, b'shas evlasa, evla, b'shas chadva, chadvasa. It's the one of the last Rashi's, the Parshas Bereishis. When it's a time of mourning, we shall mourn, and when it's a time of mourning, we shall rejoice. And we have to know when to do what, and we have to know how to keep the framework of halacha. And both are valid and important and necessary to the human experience. As long as we have the satiation, soveya, I'm keeping the halacha. I want to share a famous story. I'm quoting from the book In the Spirit of the Maggid by Rabbi Pesach Krohn, but I'm sure you've heard the story. If you haven't, it's worth it to hear it. A year and a half ago, when I went with my family too, when I was zocha to last be in Eretz Yisrael in summer 2019, I've spoken about it. Remember, I've told you much about the visit to Har Herzl, the private tour on Har Herzl, and we visited the following cave. And the tour guide told us the following story, and it's a very famous story. I was aware of it before. We visited the cave of the son of Professor Alman. This story is about a Rav Gustman, Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman, 1908 to 1991, and his student, Professor Alman, who won the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago, Israeli, very, very famous. In 1971, Rav Gustman transferred his yeshiva to the Rechavia section of Jerusalem. Wait, is everyone okay? Not only am I wearing a turtleneck and a full mask and bangs, but my glasses are also fogging. Quite an experience. He delivered daily shiur in the yeshiva of Gustman. On Thursday afternoon, he gave a shiur that was open to the public. The weekly shiur was attended by an eclectic group of people, doctors, lawyers, scientists, judges, and academics. One of the regular attendees was Professor Yisrael Alman, who was awarded the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2005. In June 1982, Professor Alman's son Shlomo, a young father whose wife was expecting their second child, who is a Maggid Shir in a Jerusalem Masifta, and the first Lebanese war broke out. He was called to duty, Shlomo Alman. He was killed in action before his child was born. Rav Gusman and all the Bachrim of the yeshiva attended the Levaya for the young father, Shlomo Alman. They all accompanied the Rosh Yeshiva to the cemetery, and they assisted in burying the young soldier. After the burial, Rav Gusman walked amongst the grave sites of the other Israeli soldiers on her heart, so he stood at the grave of Shlomo Alman, Hashem Yikom Damo. His face was twisted in anguish. "They are all holy," he said, "every single one of them." I've said it before, I haven't said it for a while. If you ever have the opportunity to take a private tour, I can give you my tour guide's name, of Har Herzl, it's really kedai. I don't mean the museum, which might be good, I was never there. I mean the Kvarim. On the way home, Rav Gusman asked to be taken to the home where the Almonds were sitting Shiva. He came in and he sat down next to the grieving professor, the bereaved father. Said the Talmud to his Rebbe, Professor Alman, to Rav Gusman, "I appreciate that you came to the cemetery, but it's time for the Rosh Yeshiva to go back to Yeshiva, to go back to his Talmidim." Rav Gusman began speaking in Yiddish and then switched to Ivrit so everyone in the room could understand. "I don't know if you know this," said Rav Gusman, "but I had a son named Meir. He was a beautiful little child. The Nazis grabbed him from my arms and shot him in cold blood. I was able to escape. I later bartered my mayor's shoes for food, but I could not bring myself to eat it. I gave it away to others. My child Meir is a kadosh. He is holy. He and all the 6 million who perished. I think about those shoes every day of my life. I see my mayor's shoes every night before I go to sleep." Rav Gusman continued, "I will tell you the truth about what is transpiring now in the Olam HaEmes, in heaven. My mayor is welcoming your Shlomo, into the minyan and saying, 'I died because I am a Jew. I wasn't able to save anyone else. But you, Shlomo, you were killed defending your fellow Jews.' My mayor," said Rav Gusman, "is a kadosh. But your Shlomo," he said to Professor Alman, "is a shaliach tzibur. He served on behalf of Kal Yisrael." Rav Gusman paused and then he said, "I never had the opportunity to sit Shiva for my mayor. Let me sit here with you." Professor Alman looked at Rav Gusman and said, "I thought I could never be comforted. But Rebbe, you have comforted me." We stood at the grave. The story came to mind, and it's very powerful. And the Torah demands, creates a space for us to feel, to be in touch with, to live the human experience. Avram said, if there's no zikna, how will we know who the elder is? Zesha kana chachma. And Yitzchak said, if there's no yisurian, I will only meet din. And Yaakov said, we need holy, so I could prepare to depart from this world. And Hashem said, good job, you weren't just mesakin shachris minchan arvis. You were mechadesh zikna. You were mechadesh yisurin. And you were mechadesh holy. And Yosef is a very emotional, biblical personality. He's the biblical personality I feel we relate to the most. He's the Gaulish Jew who lived in a time of Hester Panim. I can never get over that he's the first major biblical personality that God does not speak to. You could say Yosef is Mechadish, this idea of Hester Panim in a sense, where God does not speak to him. Eis l'daber ve'eis l'chashos. To all previous personalities, Hashem speaks. To Yosef, divine silence. And Hashem wants us to give in to that emotion and validates that emotion. And we should not negate how we feel. Vayipol Yosef al pnei avi vayevkala vayishaklo vayaslo aviv evel shivas yamim. And in the world of the Umas HaOlam, says Rav Soloveitchik, people go to the tailor to have a beautiful suit new suit made upon the demise, Rachmana Litzlan, of their third child. This is not mourning, this is not etiquette, this is not courage, it's achzarius. to feel, to be, to cry, to laugh. Eish lirkod. It's part of the way the Ribono Shel Olam made us. And from Choli to Avelos, from Parshas Vayechi, isn't interesting the Parshas called Vayechi? It is the range of the human experience that gives us life. From Salvatrix says, it's very strange. The Pasuk says, Vaya'al ito kol avde paro, zikne beso. Remember I read you the Pasuk? Not only did Yosef go up, Vayal Yosef v'kbarat aviv, Pasuk Zayin, Vayal ito kol avde paro zikno beso, v'chol zikne eretz Mitzrayim. So we said, there's a whole entourage. The Egyptians also went up. And then it says, v'chol beis Yosef v'echav beis aviv. Yosef went up, the Egyptian entourage and dignitaries went up, and then it says Yosef's brothers went up. What do we learn from here? It's Perek Nun, Psukim Zayin through Ches. Rav Salvatrix says the Torah is speaking of two different funerals. Two different stories of Avelus. One Avelus of Yosef and the family of Yaakov. That is Vayas La'aviv Evel Shivas Yamim. Listen again to the Psukim. Vayal Yosef Pasuk Zayin, Perek Nun. Vayal Yosef likbar et aviv. Yosef goes up, the viceroy, to bury his father. Vayalu itu kol avde paro, v'ziknei beiso, v'chol ziknei eretz Mitzrayim. The next pasuk says, v'chol beis Yosef v'echav u'beis aviv. So what are we talking about, says the Rav? Two different levayas. Two different ways of mourning. Two different understandings of the death process. There's a story, Paro sent a delegation consisting of Egyptians to represent him, Pharaoh, at the funeral. You know, you send somebody, you pay the respects, and he comes back. But real Avelim are busy with the burial. They continue, until the burial is complete. Vayas la'aviv eval shivas nyamim refers to the story of Yosef and his brothers exclusively, the descendants of Yaakov. It wasn't about dignitaries, it wasn't about flowers, it wasn't about suits, it wasn't about pomp and circumstance. It was true mourning. And that's part of the Jewish experience. And isn't that our national story through all the millennia of exile? Kol ma'aseiru la'avos simon nebanim. There are great times of triumph. And there are great times of crying and defeat. Vayas la'aviv eva shivas knamim refers to Yosef and the brothers. The Torah speaks about Yosef, but he tells us about Paro. And even the Yoshvei Ha'aretz, if you remember, I said it. Vayar Yoshvei Ha'aretz ha'knani, as the eva begarn hatad. And they said, this is a great morning for Egypt. And they called it eva Mitzrayim. They saw the pomp, the circumstance, the parade, the flowers, and they thought it was eva Mitzrayim. They thought it was not an individual Yaakov who died, but someone great in Egypt. But no, Vayas la'aviv eval shivas yamim, the Jewish experience is different. Said Rav Gustman to Professor Alman, Rachmana Litzlan, no one should ever know from such things. I see those shoes every day of my life. Please let me sit here with you because I never was able to experience the shiva from my son. I wanted to say more, but it's 10:14. It's important for us to apply these lessons to our lives. To understand that when we feel, it's important to feel. It's warranted to feel. Sometimes sadness, sometimes joy, but there's a prescribed length of time, and it has to be al pi halacha. That's why a mourner can't make a scratch, can't injure themselves, and make a physical wound in their body. And if we allow ourselves to feel within the framework of Torah, within the framework of halacha, and so when the mourning and the joy ceases and we go back to life, whether it's the shiva, Rachman al San, after the passing of a relative, or the shiva simei amishta, we will feel a sense of soveya, satiation, from knowing the Ribono Shel Olam feels our pain, ima anochi b'tzar, and from knowing we have chosen to be mitzamtzeim ourselves, to dedicate ourselves to living as Ovdei Hashem in all aspects, in every situation, in times of mourning and times of rejoicing. And don't worry about the Levaya that Paro made for Yaakov. That wasn't the real Avelus. That's going to the tailor and having a suit made. Yosef wept. He cried. He and his brothers went up. And they made an Avel for Shivas Yamim. And after that cathartic experience, they come back to Egypt, of course. And how does the whole Sefer Bereishis end? As Yaakov requested, Al Nasik Barein B'Mitzrayim, his son Yosef says the same. Vayomer Yosef El Achav, Anochi Meit V'Alokim Pakod Yivkod Etchem, I'm dying, but I promise you that God will redeem you from this land, to the land that he swore to our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he made his brothers take an oath. When you get out of here, V'Alisam Esatzmosai Mizah, don't leave me in this land of exile. Vayamas Yosef ben Meir b'es Roshanim, Vayichantu oso v'yisim ba'arn b'mitzrayim, chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, we should be strong, we should be strong, we should be strengthened. May the times of simcha far outweigh the other times in our lives. I wish you a wonderful Shabbos and only besoros tovos. Thank you everyone who came, even in the rain, and thank you everyone who joined on Zoom. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and a good Shabbos.